RadioArchives.com presents Crown Prince of Doom, An Adventure of Dan Fowler by C.K.M. Scanlon, read by Milton Bagby. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kindle and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, Crown Prince of Doom. Chapter 1, Death's Project. On a late September afternoon, Death mounted the ramp at the main city end of the Queensburg Bridge and made its way through the busy vehicular traffic. Pressing as was Death's appointment across the river, for that September day was destined to be a day of red harvest for the inexorable reaper, Death found opportunity for his talents on the way. Midway across the structure of cement and steel that sprawled over the silvery ribbon of the West River, a thin, anxious, clerkish little man hurled a cheap car into the stream of fast-moving traffic. His wife, seriously ill, was to go to the hospital for an operation. An opening between two cars in the traffic at his right seemed to beckon him, a gap that yawned between the heavy truck in front and the purring heavy limousine behind. The clerk twisted the steering wheel of his frail car and treadled harder on the accelerator. Death moved swiftly. The truck blew its right front pneumatic tire with a sharp report. Its perspiring driver grunted and slammed on the air brakes to keep from shearing into the vertical steel pillars that bordered the roadway high above the water. There was a shout of alarm, a scream of terror, a grinding, rending crash of glass and steel as the heavy limousine sandwiched the clerk's rattletrap car between its soaring front wheels and the unyielding rear of the truck. The clerk's head snapped sideward, his shoulders smashing the partly lowered glass of the window, making it a cruelly pointed cradle for that thin, ropey neck that dived into it. A sobbing, despairing, gurgling wail was lost in the screech of brakes as other cars quickly stopped. A life ebbed slowly in a stream of red. Slowly because Death had no time to be merciful. Death had a pressing appointment at the other side of the bridge. Death ghosted down the ramp on the Queensburg side of the bridge. A motorcycle policeman, answering the emergency alarm to the crash in the bridge's center, took a turn too abruptly. The spinning wheels of his motorbike skidded out from under him. The police officer kicked clear, skinned the palm and forearm of his left hand when he hit the ground. With a rueful grin, he righted his bike and climbed atop it again. Death smirked. Gangrene takes but a few days to develop in an arm that's been ground into filth and grime. At the corner of Bridgeway and Green, the intersection made by the erection of Spinner's Green, WPA's greatest and most publicized project, Death veered abruptly to the left. The coverlet of a baby carriage stirred in a fitful breeze. The slow-eyed mother who rocked the carriage gently let her eyes stray down toward her babe. The infant was straining against his belt, his face twisted in a grimace that might have been natural. But the safety pin that held the blue satinette cover was missing. The cover was flapping slightly. The baby's grimace was no longer natural, that straining no longer the normal rebellion of youth against the bond of the safety strap. A high, shrilling wail, with the despair of centuries keyed in it, curdled into the air, and Death sped on.